It's good to be with you. I wanted to be here the other night already, but we had to work a little longer with the roofs. The problem now with some roofs is there's so much snow on it and there is lots of ice in the front, so the water goes back up and then into the house. So it destroys much of the ceilings and so on. So this is why I need to get rid of the snow and ice. So that's what we did a little. But for tonight, my topic will be, I call it a willing spirit. And tomorrow night, I'll be with you again. Then I speak about risk or safety. And both have to do with fighting a fight, because this is the general theme. And you will find, even tonight, that we'll get into that. When we sang the song, you know, How Great Thou Art, one of my favorite hymns, I love it. I could sing it every day. But today again, when you stand up on the mountain and you look around, it is amazing the beauty of creation. And we skied a few of us together. And I'm always astonished, or it's my strong conviction, that every person, no matter whether you're an atheist or believer or Hindu or whatever you are, if you look at it just with an open mind, just with an open mind, you can tell there is a God. It's my strong conviction there is a voice within every person that speaks to you, that says there is somebody who created all of this. And I believe the only way not to hear that voice is to suppress it. I don't want to believe it. That's what it says in Romans chapter 1. They suppress the truth. The problem of unbelief is not ignorance. It is disobedience. It's not ignorance because we see it, unless you don't want to see it. So the topic for tonight will be a willing spirit. Am I willing to just be open to the possibility of the truth? I read a book of the present Pope. Actually, he wrote a very good book in the 60s. And he said, if you want to escape the doubt of faith, every believer has doubts, you will be confronted with a doubt of unbelief. In other words, we all struggle with doubts. If you're a believer, you will sometimes doubt, is there really a God? But you know, if you're an unbeliever, you will also have doubts. There will be the silent voice in your back of your mind which says, maybe there is a God. You always struggle with doubts. And so the answer, and this is what I want to focus on tonight, is, do I have a willing spirit to be open to the truth? In Psalm 51, it's also a song that we made out of that. It's the psalm where David repented of his sin because he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And when he repented, he said this let's read verse 10 to 12. Verse 10, he says, create in me a pure heart, O God. That's the song we sing, create in me a clean heart. You know that, right? And renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. And here comes the verse I want to focus on. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. David said, God, I want one thing. I want a willing spirit. And that's my question to you tonight. Do you have a willing spirit? Are you willing to be willing? That's the question. You see, we talk a lot about obedience, rightly so. Obedience is a very vital part of the life in general, also of the Christian life. And God, I think, is pleased with obedience. But something excites God far more than obedience, and that is a willing spirit. Let me tell you why. For example, Our three kids at home, they all have duties, certain duties, you know. Lisa, she needs to clean on Saturday because when the turnover is, and she needs to clean rooms and stuff and so on. Lucas needs to get firewood. We have a fire stove in our house, which is nice, but it means maintenance. And our big woodshed is in the forest. You need to shovel snow, so getting wood is not that easy. It's quite a job. I never liked it. That's why he has the duty now. And Lucas, generally, he is good at it. He's obedient. I say, Lucas, the wood doesn't look good anymore. Go and get some. And he, you know, makes a few grunts, and then he goes and does it usually. But it happened once or twice when Lucas is not at home and there's no wood, I'm the next person in line. And sometimes he isn't home and Hannelore says, the wood is gone. I say, well, that's a problem. I probably need to get it. So I do, because I'm a good husband. So I get the wood, and it happened once or twice that Lucas accidentally comes home, gets dressed, runs out and says, Daddy, I'm helping you. That's not obedience. That is a willing spirit. And a willing spirit puts a smile on God's face. It puts a smile on the Father's face, and it does on God's face. If we demonstrate a willing spirit to God, it's the most precious thing that you can ever give to Him. A willing spirit, by the way, is nothing less but a miracle of God. You and I, we don't even have a willing spirit. We need to pray for it. David prayed, God, grant me a willing spirit. I don't have it. We need to pray for a willing spirit. Grant me a willing spirit. It's probably the most beautiful and exciting thing for me to witness in ministry and in life, to see when people demonstrate a willing spirit. The problem is, many times we don't want to have a willing spirit. We dig in the heel and say, I have a right to get it, and I'm going to get it. I'm not going to be willing. I demand it because I deserve it. And we wrestle for our own rights. And we want to get our own rights. You ever fight for your rights in relationships? We don't want to be willing. My husband, my wife deserves to be treated, to be punished, because the way he treated me, he deserves it. I'm not going to be willing and give in. My husband deserves not to be talked to for 3 days now, because he did this and that. By the way, you can do that. It may well end up in a divorce. We never plan disasters. They always start slow. Just last year I spoke in a church in Manchester in England, and I spoke on a similar issue, but she came up afterwards and said, you know, Hans-Peter, 5 years ago I decided not to talk to my husband for 3 days. Now we're divorced. It's because we don't have a willing spirit. I demand my right. I'm going to get it. I hold on to my old habits, and I'm not willing to give in. I also do believe that all of us have one sin that we never get rid of. It will stay with us for the rest of our life. We can control it if the times are good, but if we're under pressure, that sin comes up again. It may be impatience, it may be anger. It comes up again and again. Martin Luther said, I drown the old Adam every day, but the beast can swim. It comes up again and again. He's very true. How can you tell a person with an unwilling spirit? Well, a Christian with an unwilling spirit will tell you why he does not speak about Jesus to other people. He will tell you that he's too shy. He cannot talk, he's too dumb, he doesn't want to offend people. He will give you all the reasons why he doesn't do it. You know, evangelism can sometimes be hard. Somebody said once, evangelism means how many people can I offend today? A Christian with an unwilling spirit will tell you the reasons why he avoids Christian fellowship. He never goes to a Christian fellowship because the people there are too narrow. They're too extreme. They're too boring. They're hypocrites. He will find all the reasons not to go there. That's an unwilling spirit. Very simple. He will tell you why he doesn't have time to pray. He will tell you why he cannot read the Bible. He's too busy. Time is too costly. He will always tell you reasons why he can't do certain things. That's an unwilling spirit. It's very important to call things by name. A person with an unwilling spirit is an unteachable person. Very hard people to live with. People who are not teachable. And when we maintain and nurture an unwilling spirit, we will lack one thing, and that is peace. And you know it. If you maintain an unwilling spirit, you don't enjoy peace in your heart. I know that 100%. If you and I, if we are unwilling to give up our time for others, yes, we will have more time for ourselves, for sport, for vacation, for party, for hairdresser, for shopping. Life will become a party, but you pay a big price. You will grow more and more selfish. Selfish people are very ugly people. When we are unwilling to give away money to people who have less than we have, our bank account will grow. Just one problem, you will grow more and more greedy. You know what the most attractive people are? Attractive people are generous people. You know generous people? They're very attractive. You know what the most ugly people are in this world? Greedy people. If you are greedy, you're a very ugly person. Outside, you may look great. You may even play it well, but only for a while. This is why Jesus says, whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake, he will actually find it. That's the paradox. It's a wonderful truth. But when a person finally gives in, finally comes before God and finally says, God, please give me a willing spirit. I don't have it. I need it. You will not recognize that person any longer. That person will become a beautiful person. We sometimes have the privilege to witness that. This is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I think, yesterday or the day we heard it in a devotion. It's a new creation. A person with a willing spirit. A person with a willing spirit will start to seek time out with God. Not out of compulsion. Not to make God happy, but because he wants to know God. He will want to understand the will of God. By the way, sometimes people come to me and say, Hans Peter, how can I know that I'm really born again? I say, that's pretty simple. If you ask yourself, when you get up in the morning, if you ask yourself, God, what is your will for my life today? If you ask that question, the Holy Spirit lives in you. If you never ask God about his will, you're probably not born again. You couldn't care less about what God's will is for your life today. That's a sign that you're not born again. But if you ask God, what is your will for my life? That's a sign that the Holy Spirit is at work. And a person with a willing spirit will make sure that his life is in the will of God. It doesn't work always, but his desire is there. That's the key. You know, what Jesus once said in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, this verse, I know this verse, Matthew 26, verse 41. I know this verse since a long time. But I always focused on the weak flesh. But you know what Jesus actually said? He said, the spirit is willing. And you know what? I have good news. The flesh is weak. It's not strong, it's weak. The Spirit is willing. And I'm so glad that I have a willing Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, wants us to be free, to be set free, to be people who please God and become a blessing to other people. He wants to give us a new heart and a new mind. Now some will say, and I heard this said, I said, well, but I'm afraid to ask God, give me a willing spirit, because when I ask God for a willing spirit, he might do funny things with me. He may do things with me that I never wanted. He will send me to Africa, although I hate spiders. I need to go to China, although I never met a Chinese, whatever. He will do strange things, but let me tell you one thing. If the Spirit makes you willing, that's not the case. I myself thought, you know, if I ask for a willing spirit, I must read my Bible 2 hours every day. I will have to pray for hours. I need to love people that I can't stand. I need to give away money to the poor that I don't want to give it away. And I thought, that's what a willing spirit makes of me. But you know what? The truth is this. A willing spirit will not drive you to do certain things. A Holy Spirit will simply drive you in the presence of Jesus. And as you live with him, something will happen to you. If God sends you on a mission field, you will go because you want to go. Every missionary goes because he wants to go, not because he has to go. It's in the presence of Christ that something changes in our thinking. The only question is, do you trust God to ask for a willing spirit? I have a Bible verse in my wedding ring. It's Romans 12, verse 2, a well-known verse. When we got married, we gave each other a verse, and the verse I got, Romans 12, 2, where it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. In other words, don't think the way this world thinks without God, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Your thinking must be renewed. That's the problem. And then he says, then, after your thinking is being renewed, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Only once your mind is changed, you will find out that what God wants with your life is good, pleasing, and perfect. I didn't believe that. When I was 20 years old, a young believer, I was a believer. I wanted to trust God. But I said, God, a couple of things I'm not giving to you. Girls and money. I'm not praying for a wife because I was afraid if I pray for a wife, there's one, she's ugly, exactly what I don't want, very white, and anything I never expected, no teeth. But she's a believer, and she prays for a husband every night. Here's a volunteer, that's it. And it may sound funny, but it was a real fear I had. And this is why I said, God, I entrust you everything, but I look for my own wife, I make sure she's a believer, but I check it out myself. And the reason why I was thinking that way is because I did not know God. You see, it says here, how can we be transformed? By the renewing of our thinking, and then you know what God's will is. Good, pleasing, and perfect. It's even the first step. If you're not a Christian, you know what you need to pray for a willing spirit. Say, Lord, I want to be willing. I want to be your child. I don't know how, but I want to be. I need your help. That's the first step. In my life, it was also giving over my money. The money was another thing. I thought, if I pray, God, my money is all yours, which is true, of course, but, you know, it's all yours. I thought, and you do with the money what you like, I thought he wasted on missionaries tomorrow and I'm on the street. I have nothing left. I remember I went to youth group when I was, I came to know the Lord when I was 15 through a youth pastor in our Lutheran church in Ramsau. very fine man. And so we went to the youth group every Saturday. And there he also said, you know, actually, there are so many people who have less money than we have. We should really help them. And I thought, well, you know, I don't like that. I didn't have much money anyways. I was working as a car mechanic, got $100 a month. And they said, well, you should give the tenth, which was $10 back then. That was a lot of money for me. But I thought, well, I'm a Christian. If I do it, let's do it. So I did it, but I didn't like it. But I did it anyways, because they told me to do it. By the time I was 17, it became a habit. I did it. I didn't like it. I didn't dislike it. I just did it. When I was 19, I really pulled the plug on Christianity because it didn't work for me. Because I tried with all my own strength to be a good Christian. I found out it doesn't work. So when I was 19, I quit. Of course, I quit giving away money as well. But when I was 24, God called me back. It's a long story. I'm not getting there. And so I started to give away the money. It was okay. But since about probably 15 years, Hannelore and I, we love to give away money. It's one of our greatest fun things. It's so much fun. Now, I don't tell you that so that you know I give away money. We don't have lots of money anyways. But the reason why I tell you that, it's not hard or painful to live with a willing spirit. It's great fun. It's a great pleasure. And the reason for that is because Philippians chapter 2:13, it says, it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. God says, if you ask for a willing spirit, I will give you not only the will, I will also do it for you. I will do the willing and the acting, both. And a willing spirit not only puts a smile on God's face, a willing spirit will also set you free to live in the present tense. Now, just a personal example, in my travel ministry, I travel a lot, about 3 months a year. This is what I agreed with my wife and also with Taunhof, it works okay this time. But sometimes when I'm gone for a week or 10 days or so, I don't always enjoy it, to be honest. It's a ministry, and it's okay. I do enjoy it, basically, but sometimes it's just not the right time, you think. But then I fly somewhere, and I'm there, and I think of home, and I think, oh, it would be nice to be home. And as soon as I think that, I pray, God, please give me a willing spirit to be here. Because you see, if I'm at a place, let's say I'm in Texas, speaking somewhere, and with my thoughts, I'm at home in Austria, I cannot be a blessing to those people there, because I'm not really there. I may give my messages, but I'm not really there. And it's interesting, whenever I pray for a willing spirit, God answers my prayer. He makes me able to live in the present tense only with those people I talk with at the moment. Because you see, the only people that you can bless at the moment is the person sitting next to you. There is nobody else. If you in your thoughts are already in next week, you don't really live. Because the only time that you have is the present tense. And by the way, tomorrow is not your property. You don't even know if you're alive tomorrow. The only time we have is now. We don't have anything else. And if we don't live in the now, we don't really live. And the willing spirit makes me able to live in the present tense. You see, some of you probably go through hard times at the moment. Maybe health-wise, emotionally, broken relationship, whatever it may be. I want to encourage you, pray for a willing spirit to accept it. To say, Lord, I don't like the situation. It is very hard on me. But give me a willing spirit to accept it right now the way it is. I don't have it. I need your willing spirit. You can give it to me. And you will experience something that you didn't before, peace. And the peace of heart is probably the greatest virtue that anybody can have in this life. You see, there is a constant conflict going on in our mind between wanting to be willing and wanting to have it my way. Paul actually describes it beautifully in Galatians 5. Let me just read to you two verses. It's in Galatians 5, verse 16 to 18. Galatians 5:16, Paul says, "So I say, live by the Spirit." Remember, the Spirit is willing. "And you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." So he says there is a conflict. It's the willing spirit wanting to be willing, and it is my own old stubborn mind. And they are in a constant conflict. Now, I always try to give you personal examples because you can read a lot of the Bible, which we should, but it's sometimes Bible stories. But how does it work today? Just because I have it here, just last year, the second book I wrote, but it's only in German, by the way, but it became a bestseller in Europe, which I never expected. And I didn't really know that in the beginning, but when you sell a book really well, you get an author honorarium, which is quite a bit of money. And at the end of last year, I got a letter which said, "Well, we sold so many thousand books, and so you get this money." Amount of money. I thought, well, that's nice. I didn't expect that. It's wonderful. And then as I went for a walk with God, I just told him, that's great, and so on. And then I heard this voice, and God said in my mind, he said, "But this money is not for you." I thought, no, come on. I mean, this is not really fair. I said, "God, remember, I wrote this book in my holidays. And Taunhof already makes some money with a span of what we buy it and what we sell it, so..." And it just went, it was the same, "It's not yours." And I knew it. You know, one way you can tell God is speaking, you cannot argue. When your subconscious says you tells you something, you can argue. Easy. When God tells you something, there's no way to argue. You have no choice. Those of you who experienced it, know it. If you never experienced it, you don't know it. And he told me, "Well, you can be, of course you can be obedient or disobedient, but then you know you're disobedient. And that, you know, it's not fun to live that way." So I talked with Hannelore, with my wife, and she said, "Well, that's okay." And then you say, "Yes, God," you ask for a willing spirit, and you know what enters? Peace. You enjoy life. And God is so generous. I mean, how generous God is to me and to us, it is almost embarrassing. God is good. Last year, actually, I was in Texas. I spoke at the Thanksgiving conference. And I went to, I was invited at a house. And he was a Texan, a real Texan, full blood. And she is a girl from Austria, from Bad Gäusern, which is really Austria. You know, you couldn't be, this is where Christian is from originally. And so I spoke with her. I said, "Well, actually, how is it as an Austrian to be married to a Texan? Is it hard sometimes?" And she said, "You know what? It's not hard at all. All I need is to humble myself and to ask for a willing spirit at times. And we have a wonderful marriage." And you could tell how much they loved each other. It was a great atmosphere in that house. You see, a willing spirit is not a passive spirit. It's an active spirit. A willing spirit is not a crushed spirit who says, "Yes, yes, yes, yes," you know. A willing spirit will say yes to the things of God, and will say no to the things that are not of God. I have one Bible verse in our kitchen. When you walk in our kitchen, above the door it says, 1 Timothy 6:12, one of my favorite verses, "Fight the good fight of faith." I always liked fighting. And the wonderful thing is, and this is the key, when you fight with a willing heart, you don't have to fight with your own strength. But God will fight for you. This is my favorite verse of the Old Testament. Whenever I sign the book or whatever, I write this in. Exodus 14:14. It was when Moses stood in front of the Red Sea. That's a big problem if you stand in front of a sea with a million people behind you, lots of kids. And behind them was the Egyptian army who wanted to slaughter them. That's a problem. Two problems. And Moses came to the point where he said, God, it was never my idea to come here anyways in the first place. I never asked you to do that. You told me to go here. God, this is your problem, not mine. And he said, God, he said to the Israelites, the Lord will fight for you. You just need to be still. My favorite verse in the Old Testament. The Lord will fight for you. You just need to be still. You see, if you have an unwilling spirit, you will also fight. I know that because I often enough have an unwilling spirit. You will fight for your own rights. You will fight for what you think you deserve. You will justify your words and actions as good as you can, and some of us are pretty good in it. There's only one problem. You need to fight with your own strength. And that is usually very, very tiring. Actually, C.S. Lewis, whom I appreciate a lot, he said, at the end, there are only two kinds of people on this earth. Those who say to God, God, your will be done. And those to whom God will say one day, okay, your will be done. Which will is be done in your life? Are you saying to God, God, your will be done in my life? Or will God have to tell you, okay, your will be done? Which will is going to be done in our lives? One other thing I need to point out. You know, Christian, maybe you can switch off this thing here. Do you know how to do that? The beamer? No, it wouldn't run anymore if it would be off. Yeah, I think that will do it. You know, our heart is a deceitful thing. But I sometimes, it's just a little louder for a while, then it will switch off, don't worry. Sometimes we are willing to fight against sin, but we don't do it wholeheartedly. We fight against sin, but we hope we lose the battle. You know how this works? Just again to have an example, but we had a guy here on staff, great guy. He smoked a lot, and when he came, he said, well, I want to work here, but I can't quit smoking. I said, that's okay, come anyways. And he always, you know, he talked with many of us, he wants to stop smoking. We gave him a couple of books, how to stop smoking and so on. Well, he still smokes. Because I know, and I told him, I said, you know what? You tell me you want to stop smoking, but deep inside you say, I hope I won't. Sometimes it's the same in relationships. I meet people, you know, you talk with them. I think there's something wrong here. Yeah, but it's going longer than usually. They'll maybe need to swap seat. Maybe that changes something. You see, it's what? It's tough. No. I just met a woman a couple of months ago. So she worked at a firm, secretary of a guy who is married to another woman, children, all Christians. And she fell in love with her boss, and he with her. And so they really love each other. But she struggles with it because he's married. And I said, well, you have a choice. You can get together with this guy, destroy a family, and there's no guarantee that it will work out with you. Or, and this is the better solution, you quit the job and you move, and you will never see him again. It's your choice. destroy it or try to build it. And you know, and people, I can tell when I talk with them, they say, yes, I need to stop. I want to stop this. And deep inside they say, I hope it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So they continue. This is an unwilling spirit in disguise of a willing spirit. The heart is a very deceitful thing. Some Christians have a very genuine willing spirit, but they struggle with feeling unspiritual. I meet them often. They say, you know, I really want to please God. I want to live according to God's will, but you know what? I feel so bad. I did it again, and I feel so disobedient and so weak. If somebody tells me this, I say, congratulations. You're on the right track. Everything's okay. Because you question yourself and not others. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, 31, but if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. The problem comes when instead of ourselves, we constantly try to find the fault in other people. You see, a Christian with a willing spirit will still sin, but it's different. Again, an example which may be helpful. But when in our Bible schools, we have about 70 students. They're usually between 18 and 25 years old. You expect they come voluntarily for Bible school. They even pay money for that. And you expect them to be motivated, but you're wrong. Most of them actually are. I would say 3/4. But there's 1/4, they have different motives, which is all right. It's great to have them. But then we have rules in Bible school. They need to be in the house at 11 o'clock. That's a rule. The buildings are locked. But some then decide to sneak out again at 1 because they want to go for a drink. Which I completely understand. I mean, I did the same stupid things twice as bad. So they sneak out at 1 and go until 4 o'clock, have a few beer and come back. The thing is, I always hear that the next day because I'm a local and, you know, somebody saw them and they say, have you changed the rules or something, the Tauernhof? So you call them in, these two students, and one is a student with an unwilling spirit, the other with a willing spirit. Both broke the law, the rules that they signed. Now, I ask them, I will tell them, well, I completely understand you doing that, and it's not a big deal, but actually we agreed on something else, that's all. And then I ask the student with the unwilling spirit, why did you, I mean, you signed yourself, you want to abide to these few rules that we have here. And the student with the unwilling spirit will tell me, well, I sneaked out because this week was so boring, the lectures were bad, the program was useless, and the rules are stupid. And then I turn to the other student and I say, well, why did you sneak out? And he says, you know what, I'm really sorry. I knew it's wrong and I did it, and I will not do it again. Now both sinned. Both did the same thing, but the spirit is a very different one. And you see, you have people, they always, even to come to faith in the Lord Jesus, they will always blame other things. They will blame, well, these Christians are a bad witness, the church is bad, the Bible nobody can understand. They will always find a fault in other things. That's a person with an unwilling spirit. When we start to question ourselves, then we're on the right track. Now, I want to close with that, but why do we sometimes not feel spiritual although we want a willing spirit? I must honestly confess that I myself really hardly ever feel spiritual. I feel always totally normal. Like, I don't know, just normal. I feel just like I felt 20 years ago about myself. I'm still prone to sin just like I was 20 years ago. Sometimes you think you have it under control, but then you're just exposed to something and it all comes back. It will never change, by the way. But it used to frustrate me. I thought, what's wrong with me? I want to please God. I want to live with God. Now I'm a Christian for 20 years, and I still feel so worldly. And it stopped bothering me until a good friend of us, Billy Strachan, who died a couple of years ago, he was a Scotsman, and he said, Hans Peter, I hope you never feel spiritual. I said, really? He said, yes, because the moment you feel spiritual, you will become proud and arrogant. So I hope you always feel you don't have it together. And actually, ever since, that really helped me. I get up in the morning and say, Lord, I can't live this day to your glory. I can live it to my glory, that's no problem, but not to yours. I cannot produce eternal values. I cannot love people I can't stand. Lord, I really need you. And this feeling normal is actually the greatest help to stay close to Jesus. So I'm very grateful for that. Let me share with you, and let's close with these verses, in Mark chapter 4. There is a wonderful parable of the Lord Jesus. Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. He explains what it's like to grow as a Christian, to become a Christian and grow as a Christian. And he uses the parable of a growing seed. Mark 4:26, he also said, great passage, this is what the kingdom of God is like. In other words, this is how it works, friends. A man scatters seed on the ground. By the way, we do that this week. Seed is sown. You hear the word of God. The seed is sown. Now what happens? Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain, and then the ear. You know what I like about it, this verse? Jesus says, you know how it works? When I sow the seed in the heart of a man and a woman, boy and a girl, it will grow. You have no clue how. You don't know how. Whether you sleep or whether you're up, doesn't matter. All by itself, it will produce something. And this is the beauty about being a Christian. It's not our effort to make something happen. That's religion. And I don't like religion a lot. Christianity is when Jesus Christ scatters the seed, and all by itself, because he is alive, something will start growing. This is why I so much appreciate this parable of Jesus here. And all God wants is your willing spirit. To come before God and say, God, I want to be willing. By the way, never be afraid to make mistakes. God has no problem with our mistakes. I remember Lucas when he was small, like 6, 7, he had a little overall. I learned a car mechanic. I still fix my own car. That's about it. Because that's an old one still, so I can still cope with that. But I remember sometimes when I fixed the car and I was not in a hurry, Lucas would come with his little overall and screwdriver and say, Daddy, I want to help. I thought, that's great. Because all he does is mess, you know. He just makes everything more complicated. You need to watch that he doesn't get hurt. He will carry away some tools that you need, so you need to find it again. He will scratch things that you don't plan to scratch. But you know what? Once or twice, when I wasn't in a rush, you know, you look at him, a willing spirit. He really wants to help me. It will be a disaster, but he wants to help me. And if I had enough time, my love said, Lucas, this is great. Come and help me. Be my buddy. Help me fix the car. Whether he makes mistakes, whether I work an extra hour to clean the whole thing up, didn't really matter because of the beauty of a willing spirit. Is it the same thing with you and me? Whether we make mistakes or not, God isn't really much concerned about. When you look at Peter, who 3 times denied that he knows Jesus, When you look at Philip, who didn't see the Father in Jesus, when you look at John and his brother who wanted to sit on the right and left hand side of Jesus, when you look at the lost son who spent his money on prostitutes and alcohol and the rest he wasted, somebody said. When you look at all those, you think, wow, God maybe expects more mistakes from me than I would ever expect from myself. And the great thing is that God doesn't struggle with our mistakes. The only thing he struggles with is an unwilling spirit. So I encourage you, myself, and I wish for me, my family, and for you that we have a willing spirit because it pleases God. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much for just your patience with us. That you wait for us year by year. That you are not disturbed by our late comings, although you wish we come to you. Father, thank you that your spirit is willing. And all we need to do is to ask for your willing spirit in our lives so that you can do your work in us that we can never do ourselves. Lord, it's such a liberating truth that when Jesus comes in our lives, there is a willingness that was not there before. We can actually give in. We can actually humble ourselves. We can surrender. We can love, which we could never on our own. So Lord, I pray that we are willing to be willing. That we don't suppress the truth with our so-called intellect sometimes, or prejudice, but that we are open to see the reality around us. And Lord, as we look today, this your wonder of creation, it's real. And I pray that we learn to lift our eyes up, not turn them inside all the time, but lift them up to the mountains, where our help comes from you, God. Lord, forgive us when we have turned our eyes inside, when all we see is us, me, my, I, nothing else. And by your grace, help us to turn them outwards, to see the whole reality of this world, of your life, of your presence, of your love. We want to be people who please you and be a blessing to other people. In Jesus' name I pray all these things. Amen. I think